evening. It is 6 p.m. or just the top of the hour here on WEFT Champagne 90.1 FM radio. That song was Bleed to Love Her by Fleetwood Mac from their album Fleetwood Mac Say You Will album. Their album Say You Will. Yeah, sorry about that. But I need to be more prepared next time. This is, yes, as I said, WEFT Champagne 90.1 FM radio. My name is Ben. This is the program where we are at. Sorry, I'm coming in a little bit hot there. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or the WEFT associates. I think I'm going to wait a little bit before I read any public service announcements or any special types of announcements. Maybe I'll do a little quick weather update as I about to transit, get into what I wanted to, what I've been doing this past couple of weeks. I think right now it's like 79 degrees here in Champaign, and it's going to be mostly kind of upper 70s, 80s throughout the week. There is a chance of rain on this Wednesday in the morning. Temperatures will be mostly in the 80s. I don't know if it's ever anything in terms of this week. I don't like to see what the weather is going to, give any kind of weather predictions for later in the week, because it seems like they change by the time that day comes. So I wasn't able to play this last week for my show because I wasn't able to fit it in, but there's been a few reproductive rights rally. There was one in front of the Champaign County Courthouse, I believe the Tuesday right after about the Supreme Court leak. When it was leaked 2 weeks ago, exactly now, about the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overturned, which essentially ban abortion in, I believe, is it 20. Let's see how many states. How many states would it would? But essentially, really every in the Midwest here. Only I think states like Illinois and Minnesota would be the only states where a woman would be able to have access to an abortion. And so obviously this is a very incredibly an important issue, and this a Supreme Court decision would be essentially just incredibly important. So that's why I've been covering it a lot. I believe now the decision is it's the Mississippi case, but I believe essentially when we'll know the full news on whether or not Roe v. Wade, I think it's going to be in June, but I'm going to stop talking now because I'm I have some audio from the abortion rate or reproductive rights rally on that was held at the Alma Mater statue in Urbana. I think that was the on a Saturday or Sunday, but yes, this is the rally for reproductive rights that was held little over last week at the Alma Mater statue, and I'll check my audio. It should be good, so I'll be check back at with you all in about 15 minutes.
Before women have abortions, you love someone who has had an abortion. And what we really know is that 9 people deciding to take our rights away is a crisis in our democracy. Most Americans support this right, and we will not be silenced. At the same time, this issue overlaps with so many other issues we have been fighting and having protests for. Because capitalism oppresses us in many, many ways. Yeah. Affected most by these bans will be poor and working class people. They will be sex workers. They will be black people, indigenous women, and other people of color. They will face the brunt of these bans and these laws. The rich and powerful, however, will make these laws, but exclude themselves from them and maintain their own freedom at the cost of our freedom. Some will say that we have gone backwards in time, but this is not even true. Many indigenous societies practiced abortion and respected the rights of birthing people's bodily autonomy for centuries. Even early American colonials, although they are definitely white people, did have access to abortion before large-scale Catholic interference. We can see that abortion is not new, and bodily autonomy, access to reproductive health care, they can be found throughout all history. Roe was not the beginning of women getting abortions. It was the end of women largely dying from them. Sadly, for these historical narratives do not apply to all people. But for this reason, we have to continue to fight to expand our rights further and further into places that have never yet been seen. We will maintain this freedom because it is something the government should never take away or decide for us. Christian evangelicalism and the Bible are not the law of this land. Those beliefs do not represent us. And we have the majority. None of us are alone in this fight. We are together. The last thing I will say is that do not forget, right now, for the time being, abortion is still legal. It is legal right now. And if you need these services, do not hesitate to get them. They are your right. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Lexi. I think up next we have Michael from PSL, the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Woo! My name is Michael. I'm from the Party of Socialism and Liberation. And I know that I'm not a woman and I don't have a uterus. I don't know what it's like to have my reproductive justice, my health care, and my rights systematically taken from me because of my sex or my gender. I don't have that same experience that millions of people in this country do. And I'm not here to take away space from those who have that experience. But the Supreme Court trying to overrule Roe v. Wade is more than just a women's issue. It is an issue of human rights. An issue of a broken system built to keep that minority ruling class in power and everyone else down working exactly as it is intended to. And for that reason, I can still speak for everyone here when I say that these 9 Supreme Court justices further limiting reproductive rights, these fundamental human rights, is obscene. There needs to be a fundamental change with the way our government operates. It is not just, and it is not democracy. The will of the people cannot be ignored. All of these misogynistic, unelected elitists with a lifetime term in the Supreme Court want to do is exercise dictatorial control over people's bodies across this country. They want to further oppress the already oppressed. They know that withdrawing the choice to get a safe abortion leads to less safe conditions for everyone, especially for those already facing so much oppression by the same system, whether that be their economic status or their race or being part of the queer community, all alongside the inherent misogyny built into the capitalist system. Everything they want to do is for their benefit and to keep their power by taking ours. This system must change, and we will not back down. We cannot, because all is not lost until we do. And we know that we can win, because we have legitimate ground to stand on, and know that they have nowhere to stand but the shoulders of the working class to hold us down, just as they've always done, holding down the indigenous population from their land, holding back working class, black and white folks, taking up arms for people's rights to be viewed as humans, as human beings during the Civil War, and holding down women for exercising their right to vote before, of which the battle we're fighting today is only an extension of the same problem. And in all these rights, which had to be taken by force and not have granted, we were able to because we knew the real intentions of their oppressive laws. So it's important to understand that there is nothing pro-life about banning abortion. Sorry, nothing pro-life about banning abortion. And all we have to do is look at the rest of what this elite minority does, whether that be in Congress or in the Oval Office or, yes, in the Supreme Court. The very last line of defense for the ruling class when all else fails.
Yeah.
If this was really about being pro-life, why do we keep seeing the government fund military occupation and war internationally? Wouldn't we instead see them addressing the infant mortality rate or the foster care system? See them assisting with single motherhood or maternity leave or the prices of necessary life-sustaining medication? Let us make no mistake. This is a class war. This is an attack on bodily autonomy, and this is an attack on the working class. The oppressive capitalist state is doing what it has always been meant to do, to hold down and exploit people in the working class, the majority class of this country. So here we stand once again, having to fight for reproductive justice for women, a basic human right in every meaning of the word, because that capitalist state cannot help but to prove once again that the lives of the people it dictates do not mean a thing to them. That's why we're here today, to show them that our lives do matter, that our rights do matter, and that our voices do matter, and we will not stop raising those voices and taking to the streets until we are certain that we are heard. Thank you.
Next, we will have our final speaker at Alma, who will be Chelsea from GEO. Hello, everyone. My name is Chelsea. I'm from the GEO. GEO is the labor union for graduate workers on this campus, teaching GEO is outraged by this abhorrent leaked majority opinion revealing the Supreme Court's plan to overturn Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey. This disgusting move is an attack on working class people who cannot afford the cost of privatized health care. This decision will disproportionately impact Black, Brown, and Indigenous working class people who can become pregnant. This will worsen existing disparities in access to reproductive care, and it will also increase the risk of unsafe and deadly abortions. One study estimated that a U.S.-wide abortion ban would increase pregnancy-related deaths by 21%. As many of the previous speakers have stated, this is not only a reproductive rights issue. The right to make decisions about our bodies and our lives is a human rights issue. Challenges the 14th Amendment right to privacy, and it also challenges any right that is not explicitly guaranteed in the body of the Constitution, a pro-slavery document written more than two centuries ago. And what this means is this regressive, archaic decision could also have a cascading effect on other hard-fought rights. This decision will also impact graduate workers and other workers who are already struggling without year-round health care and the lack of paid parental leave and affordable child care. It will also impact our own Champaign-Urbana community, which already lacks access to abortion services. Almost all abortion care in Illinois is located in or close to Chicago, and many people can't afford transportation from Champaign to Chicago.
I'll give you a ride.
Yeah, we have to support each other. Close to 10,000 people traveled to Illinois for abortions in 2020 alone. And this number will drastically increase if Roe v. Wade is overturned, overwhelming an already limited reproductive care system. So it is not enough that abortion remain legal in Illinois. We need to expand access to reproductive care. This university, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, has not said a word about this decision. We call on the UIUC admin to proactively use its immense resources to oppose the upcoming Supreme Court decision, lobby for congressional protections, and expand access to reproductive care. Graduate worker, we still don't have year-round health care. Not having year-round health care means we don't have reproductive care. So we also call on the UIUC administration to provide affordable year-round health care, paid parental leave, child care, and reproductive care for all workers and students, and offer resources to expand public access to reproductive care throughout all of Champaign County. Part of this ghastly plan to dismantle our human rights is an unelected body of 9 people who are accountable to no one and face no consequences for decisions that will destroy millions of people's lives. We at GEO oppose this deeply undemocratic structure and continue the fight to build worker power to make decisions over our bodies and our lives. the public health, reproductive justice, and fight the Supreme Court's decisions. If they don't let us dream, the GEO will not let them sleep. All right, really fast, I want to teach everyone a new chant one of the GEO members came up with. Okay, I'll say it once and then everyone join in with me. Free abortions! We don't want to die! The ultimate decision is by me, myself, and I! Free abortions! We don't want to die! The ultimate decision is by me, myself, and I! Free abortions! We don't want to die! The ultimate decision is by me, myself, and I! Thank you, everyone!
And, yeah, I'm sure there'll be more rallies and protests happening possibly around here in Champaign-Urbana area. I wanted, in terms of any updates, I don't think there's been any updates on the Supreme, on this leaked Supreme Court. But let me see. I'm going to turn back to this in terms of to my other planned story, which was on Saturday there was a rally for at the Starbucks in at a Starbucks in Peoria, and a 19-year-old student worker. Her name was Abby Estrada. She was a student at Bradley University who was retaliated against by the management at the Peoria Campus Towns Starbucks on, I believe it was around May 14th. So, yeah, that would have been, Saturday. She was denied her her seasonal transfer that they had, that she had requested. And so there was a number of us, me included, in number of people in the Peoria DSA, Champaign, Urbana DSA, and I believe even the Communist Party, the Bloomington Normal Communist Party went there and picketed and protested her firing. And this is some of the audio that I was able to get from that picket protest. Let's see. Let me cue the audio up. I believe this. Yeah. Okay. I should have it here. So, this is what that picket protest was.
Today is solidarity with Abby and all the workers across the country that have been retaliated against for their union organizing. We're gonna fight today. We're gonna fight tomorrow. And we're gonna keep on fighting until Abby gets her rights reinstated. Well, let's kick it off with a little bit of some union chants. One of my favorite ones now. Y'all say when I say my part, y'all let me say my part. You say you got trouble, okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna say my part. Y'all say you got trouble. All right. And we're gonna start the picket line. All right, y'all.
All right.
Vente, grande, mocha, double, union busters.
You got trouble.
Vente, grande, mocha, double, union busters.
You got trouble.
Union busters,
you got trouble.
Venti, grande, mocha, double, union busters,
you got trouble.
Venti, grande, mocha, double, union busters,
you got trouble.
Venti, grande, mocha, double, union busters,
you got trouble.
Venti, grande, mocha, double, union busters,
you got trouble.
Venti, grande, mocha, double, union busters,
you got trouble.
Thank you guys for fighting for your voices. I really appreciate it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Abby. Jen, Johnny, y'all want to say anything?
We're not going to stop fighting this.
No, we're not.
No, and if they try and prevent Abby from coming back, then we'll all be here again in the fall. So we'll see before then.
And I think there's a possibility, you know, we could do something in Waukegan. So let's stay
yes.
in contact.
Yeah. I really like the idea of that.
Absolutely. We could get a little group of people to go up. So.
Y'all have lost my, like, fire brimstone miss right now because I really don't want to have to go back in there and walk into the store and work.
So we'll
hold our heads high.
Which chant can we close out with before, you know, leave out on a bang? What was the favorite chant of the day?
Solidarity.
Yeah.
Solidarity.
The
union, yeah, Starbucks. Yeah.
All right.
Fucking solidarity, no problem.
All right.
Solidarity. Either way.
This is a movement. This is certainly a movement. And y'all are at the forefront, mm-hmm. and I think it's a long time coming. And without folks like y'all standing up, you know, we'd be in a much tougher place. But I think this gives us all hope, you know. Abby,
I'll start singing before you stop talking.
So let's keep the energy going. Let's make sure we finish off on a high note. And I'm not even gonna use the speaker for this one. We said we like the Union Yes, Starbucks No. Union Bustin's got to go.
Yeah,
that's a permit.
Union Yes,
Starbucks No. Union Bustin's got to go.
Union Yes, Starbucks No.
Union Bustin's got to go.
Union Yes, Starbucks No.
Union Bustin's got to go.
Union Yes, Starbucks No.
Union Bustin's got to go.
And, let me, I found a actual piece about Starbucks union workers who have been facing retaliation for trying to organize their stores. This is by Jackie Germain from Teen Vogue, published April 28th. This is part of Teen Vogue's 2022 Economic Security Project Fellowship. And the piece, I don't know if I'll be able to read the whole piece, but I just wanted to get a kind of a explain exactly this whole Starbucks union workers that have been retaliated against for trying to unionize, for voting for union, like Miss Estrada in Peoria was. Excuse me. Starbucks employees at more than 225 locations across the United States have already filed to unionize their stores, according to the tracker run by More Perfect Union. While an outpouring of public support suggests many people would like their coffee union strong, workers at these branches argue that the company is engaged in union busting. The allegations are motivated by several recent actions taken by the coffee giant, including hiring a union avoidance law firm and launching a brand new One Starbucks website, seemingly to counter the union's messaging. Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz even reportedly plans to expand employee benefits, a move that would potentially apply only to non-unionized Starbucks staff. Starbucks has also been accused of engaging in one of the most drastic, effective, and technically illegal union-busting tactics, firing pro-union workers for organizing their colleagues. More than a dozen pro-union workers around the country have been fired or forced out of their jobs, each alleging that they were targeted for their workplace organizing. Starbucks has repeatedly denied allegations of union busting or that the dismissals were retaliatory. National Labor Relations Board officials recently determined that Starbucks had illegally fired 7 Starbucks employees who'd been trying to unionize their Memphis location, according to reporting by Bloomberg. Teen Vogue spoke with 8 Starbucks employees around the country about how they're keeping their movement going amid this anti-union campaign. We reached out to Starbucks for comment, and this was from Miss McCoy in Marysville, Washington. I'm probably only going to read hers because this is a pretty long piece. So this is McCoy in Marysville, Washington. Quote, as efforts began to disrupt the union in our own store, we are really trying to stay positive. Our store, even throughout labor cuts, horrid working conditions, and interference from corporate, has stayed very close-knit. I definitely consider them to be like family. Something that has really helped us stay encouraged is remembering that there is so much support out there. So many stores, not only in our area, but nationwide, are going through the same thing. Also, we have extremely clear communication with everyone in the store. Corporate loves to try and divide up the store into undecided and, quote, pro-union, and trying to get the undecided to turn anti-union. Having clear communication with your team and within your store and allowing every single voice in the store to be heard will let partners know that they have a safe space within the union. Not only in your store, but within Starbucks Workers United. This made my team feel a lot more at ease. So yeah, that's kind of the situation of what's been happening with Starbucks unions and people trying to organize their stores. It's been a very fascinating, interesting to see and watch from my perspective, and believe me, we'll keep those guys said, I'll keep you all in touch and informed on that situations, because I imagine it'll be happening more here in Illinois as well as it's happening all over the country. So I am going to play a program on the ground about what's been happening. More on what's happening with Roe versus Wade. Obviously, we just heard about the you heard that reproductive rights protest that, and we're gonna delve more into detail about it here with on the ground. And let me queue up. Well, actually, wait, before I get into that, I need to remember some public service announcements. Here's a great way to support WFT and get rid of a vehicle that's been taking up space in your garage driveway or just. But well, before I do that, let me just remind you that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker. They do not necessarily represent those of WFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or the WFT. Associates. I'll just read this. I do have some other already pre-recorded public service announcements, but I don't think I have them on me right away. So I'll just read this one, and if I'm able to find them, I'll play those too. But a great way to support WFT and get rid of and if you have a spare vehicle that you're looking to get rid of that's been taking up space, you can donate it to us here at WFT, that car, truck, motorcycle, or boat. You can donate to Charitable Adult Rides and Services. They pick it up, haul it away at no charge to you. Just be sure to designate WFT as a nonprofit beneficiary of your gift. Just visit their website, CarEasy.com. That's CarEasy, CarEasy.com. Or you could give them a call. Their phone number is 855-500-RIDE. Again, that phone number, 855-500-RIDE, which also translates to 855-500-7433. So the RIDE is 7433. So really the full phone number is 855-500-7433. But you know, the ride, that sounds cool. but I'm going to play. I might have to interrupt in the first few minutes if I find those public service announcements, because I do like the because we do have some businesses and places around here that we do like to give a shout out. So I'm going to play on the ground And if I am able to find those PSAs, I might have to interrupt and play those and then continue the On the Ground program. So this is On the Ground.
From Washington, D.C., this is On the Ground. A proposed law guaranteeing safe and legal abortion nationwide fails to pass the Senate this week after demonstrations around the country and here at the Supreme Court.
The pro-choice movement is the real pro-life movement. Not only are we here for reproductive health, but we're here to keep families together. We're here for Medicare for all. We're here for paid parental leave. We're here for all of that. And we're here to support women and children if they choose to have them.
And while Congress failed to support reproductive justice, it did vote to give $40 billion more to Ukraine for what is openly acknowledged now to be a U.S. proxy war with Russia.
We don't have health care. We don't have free college education. We have failing public education. And you want us to throw our children into a system like that?
But while signs of system failure abound, add DC bus drivers to the recent wave of victories for labor. All that and much more coming up.
So guess what? I found this WEFT PSA. So it's public service announcements I wanted to play. So I'm going to play those really quick and then go right back into the On the Ground program. So here are some public service announcements from us here at WEFT.
Here are some public service announcements. The CU at Home Men's Emergency Shelter is provided year-round, 365 days a year. Intakes begin at 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Service is provided at CU at Home at 70 East Washington Street in Champaign, which is the former Times Center location. Light snacks are available. Showers and laundry are available in emergency situations. You can contact Thomas Welt. The phone number is 217-819-4569. Again, the phone number 217-819-4569. You could also call 217-649-2200. Again, that phone number 217-649-2200. After business hours and need shelter, call the CU at Home Outreach Hotline. That phone number is 217-888-0329. And again, that last one, the CU at Home Outreach Hotline, phone number 217-888-0329. There is also Austin's Place, which is a shelter for women, which provides overnight emergency shelter for women year-round. Intakes begin at 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. This resource is housed at CU at Home's 70 East Washington Street facility in Champaign, which is the former Times Center building. Light snacks are provided. Showers and laundry are also available. For more information, you can contact Chloe Hansen. The phone number is 217-819-4569. Again, that phone number, 217-819-4569. They also have a website, CU at Home, which you can Google. It would probably just be possible to Google CU at Home, shelterAustin'sPlace.weebly.com. And after business hours is the same number, is the same phone number as before that I read a few minutes ago. CU at Home, Outreach Hotline, 217-888-0329. Again, that phone number is 217-888-0329.
The Daily Bread Soup Kitchen's mission is to feed the hungry in our community. Currently, they provide a hot, nutritional meal in a biodegradable clamshell box plus a hearty sack lunch to go from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. 7 days a week. Because of COVID-19, though, they cannot currently offer inside dining. The Daily Bread Soup Kitchen is located on 116 North 1st Street in Champaign. Their phone number is 217-356-7687. Their website is daily.com. Bread Soup Kitchen, all one word, dailybreadsoupkitchen.com. And again, they are located on 116th North 1st Street in Champaign, and they offer a free sack lunch to go from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. 7 days a week, and we thank them for their hospitality and for the work that they have been doing. For rental assistance, you can go to the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. If you would like, their website is ccrpc.org, and then when you get onto the website, you'll go to Programs and Services, and then click on Emergency Rent Assistance. But yes, Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, again, that website, ccrpc.org. Please consider supporting the programming you love. WFT will gladly accept that vehicle you've been looking to get rid of. Our vehicle donation program provides an effortless option to support WEFT Community Radio. You can give CARS, C-A-R-S, Charitable Adult Rides and Services, a call at 1-855-500.
I'm just going to continue with the program On the Ground.
Welcome to On the Ground. OnTheGroundShow.org, voices of resistance from the nation's capital. I'm Esther Averam. Well, on Wednesday, the Senate failed to advance the Women's Health Protection Act, which would affirm abortion rights at the federal level, as the U.S. Supreme Court seems poised to reverse their landmark 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. Roe made abortion legal at the federal level, but has been chipped away by the right wing and at the state level since that time. And in a repeat of so many crucial votes this year, the Senate tally was 51-49, with West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin voting with all Republicans, including female Republicans, to defeat the legislation. Though Manchin's no vote was announced in advance and defeat was expected, Democrats still put the proposed law through the process after the leaked draft of a Supreme Court decision indicated that the High Court is planning to overturn Roe v. Wade next month. After the Senate vote, protesters from the Party for Socialism and Liberation rallied outside the Supreme Court. Rally MC Nicole Roussel blamed the Democrats for not making women's rights a priority over the decades when they have controlled both houses of Congress and the White House.
Joe Manchin is somebody who stood in the way today of women's rights, but I want to emphasize how much it is also the system, the Democratic Party, that lets him do that. They could pass this. And we're out here to demand that they do pass this, that they decide, you know what, we are going to get rid of the filibuster. I don't care if one or two people in our party don't want to. I don't care if Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema don't want to get rid of the filibuster. Let's get rid of it because it's an undemocratic rule anyway. They say no choice.
We say pro-choice.
They say no choice.
We say pro-choice.
We'll have more voices rallying at the Supreme Court later in the show. But meantime, the potential repeal of Roe has brought into sharp relief the issue of what is pro-life. On late Thursday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who signed that state's infamous abortion ban into law last year, issued a joint statement with something called the National Border Patrol Council, denouncing the federal policy to feed migrant children in U.S. custody, while there is, at the same time, a shortage of infant formula. So this so-called pro-life governor, Abbott, is advocating that these children being caged by the U.S. be starved. And this latest statement by Abbott comes after he said he wants to oppose the legal requirement that states provide public education to all children, including children of undocumented workers. States like Texas that have so-called trigger laws in place to ban abortion are some of the same states that have refused to expand Medicaid under Obamacare and have very poor life outcomes for poor and working class families. Tate Reeves, governor of Mississippi, where the Supreme Court case is being considered originated, could not escape the facts of his state during his appearance on CNN.
So, Governor, you and I have talked about this before, but Mississippi, as you know, has the highest rate of infant mortality in the United States. You have the highest rate of child poverty in the United States. Your state has no guaranteed maternity leave that's paid. The legislature in Mississippi just rejected extending postpartum Medicaid coverage. Your foster care system is also the subject of a long-running federal lawsuit over its failure to protect children from abuse. You and I have had this conversation before. I hear you. You say you want to do more to support mothers and children. But based on the track record of the state of Mississippi, why should any of these girls or moms believe you?
We have a long history of poor health outcomes. It's due in large part to poverty. And so we are focusing every day on fixing the challenges that are before us. When you talk about these young ladies, the best thing we can do for them is to provide and improve educational opportunities for them.
Reeves also repeated the cruel trope, what he called the next phase of the pro-life movement, and that is adoption. So after being forced to give birth, and Mississippi's trigger law, for example, does not even have an exception for incest, women with unwanted pregnancies would be urged to put their newborn babies up for adoption. While Congress failed to pass legislation for reproductive justice, it did vote to give that $40 billion, billion with a B, dollars more to Ukraine for what Representative Seth Moulton of Massachusetts openly acknowledged on Sunday to be a U.S. proxy war against Russia, not a battle to protect Ukraine. Cole Harrison, executive director of Massachusetts Peace Action, wrote in a commentary published on Common Dreams on May 12th that the $40 billion for war escalates the Ukraine war, and he says that it's time for negotiations, not arms shipments, to end the Ukraine-Russia war. He points out that, quote, the Biden administration has not outlined a strategy for ending the war, only one for hitting back at Russia. Secretary of State Blinken has not met with Russian Foreign Secretary Lavrov since the Russian invasion started more than 2 months ago. There is no off-ramp. There is no diplomacy. End quote. Meanwhile, such lavish military spending combined with sanctions on Russia and rising inflation are having a tremendous impact on the U.S. economy. Economist Richard Wolff said this week on his show Economic Update that the U.S. economy is shrinking because Americans have less money to buy goods and services that are becoming more and more expensive.
If you have an inflation of 10%, everything costs more, and you don't raise people's wages anywhere near that, then they won't be able to afford what they could have afforded before. And if they're buying less goods and services, well, then fewer of them will be produced, and that's what you're watching. Very bad for the American economy. Don't let anyone fool you into thinking otherwise.
In D.C., bus drivers and teachers are fighting for better pay and benefits as part of the national trend of increased union activity and victories. Chris Smalls, president of the new Amazon Workers Union, recently met with President Biden and testified before Congress about the illegal union busting tactics by Amazon and other corporations. That same week, drivers for D.C.'s privately managed circulator bus line were striking against the management company RATP DEV USA. Thomas O'Rourke visited the picket line for members of the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 689 and filed this report.
I spoke to striking drivers of the DC Circulator bus line, some of their union comrades, and to ATU Local 689 spokesman Brian Wyvell on the picket line less than a day before the union and company announced an agreement to a new contract.
You name a government service, there are people out there trying to make a profit off of it instead of providing good public jobs and, good public services. This is absolutely just one more step in what we've been doing over the last couple of years. Local 689 is fully committed to the idea of public transit as something that should be run for the good of the people and not to take public money and turn it for profit. We are fully committed to that idea, and we understand that the only way we're going to get solid, good public services is when they are run by the public for the public benefit. And, you know, we were out there, you know, not only a couple of years ago at Cinderbed Road on strike there against WMATA's efforts to privatize a Metro bus garage. We won there after 85-day long strike, and I'm proud to say that every single one of those workers is now a worker at WMATA that is going to be retiring with good wages and benefits and can count on that as a career job. And we view this DC Circulator fight as just one more step in that larger picture fight of making sure that every transit worker in this region has good wages and benefits. And part of the way we do that is by making sure that these private contractors have to play by the same rules as all the other transit systems in this region. It has been a struggle for this union to make sure that they keep up with the other transit systems in this region. Originally, when the circulator was first introduced, 689, I believe, might have even supported it at that time because we were under the impression that it was going to be a supplemental bus service to WMATA run express routes downtown. And that is something we, you know, Local 689 is fully in support of public transit and the expansion of public transit. If we take climate change seriously, we need to do, we need to dramatically expand the amount of public transit we're doing.
Sure.
But we know firsthand that when you do public, quote unquote, public transit for private profit, it's not going to be run well. It's going to be to the public's detriment, and especially to the detriment to the workers out there.
We're talking about equal pay. You know, we trying to survive just like everybody else. And the way that these guys been playing hardball with us, we went to the table yesterday, and hopefully we can get some signed tonight.
By equal pay, you mean equal with Metro drivers?
Yes.
And parity with them. That's because we're part of the same union. They're going to definitely shoot for the same thing that they get.
We ran through the pandemic. We constantly ran during the pandemic, nonstop. You know, we had drivers here that passed away during that. And it's, you know, just thinking about it.
No hazard pay.
No hazard pay at all. The buses, they break down on the road because they're not buying the parts to fix the buses. So we out there, we got to move the buses out the yard. You know, and it's like they've been getting millions of dollars a year since they've been here, but they're not sharing it with us.
We're hoping to accomplish was to bring the circulator operators up in parity with those of us who work at WMATA, who are part of the same local. We're driving the same buses. We're doing the same work. The only difference between my bus and their bus is the paint job. The only difference between my uniform and their uniform is the color. We're driving on the same streets. We're picking up the same passengers. Their bus fare is $1, mine is $2. But we all deserve to make enough money to be able to support our families and hopefully retire one day.
So you're a Metro driver.
That's correct.
How long have you been a Metro driver?
Almost 16 years.
So you are out here in the same union in solidarity with these striking brothers and sisters.
That's correct.
Excellent. That's great.
I'm 20 years in service with the Authority of Metro as well. I'm a mechanic. Just because I'm a mechanic and not an actual bus operator, we still have the same units here. We are in the same fight.
The following day, ATU Local 689 issued a press release announcing the overwhelming approval of a new 3-year contract by striking drivers and an end to the 3-day strike. The settlement, according to the union, includes improvements in both health care and retirement benefits, as well as substantial wage increases. Starting pay for bus drivers jumped more than 25%, partly to try to remedy a driver shortage, while all circulator drivers will see an 18.5% wage increase over the contract's life. Other union gains include a PPO health insurance option, 4% employer contributions to 401k pensions without an employee match, a new holiday, and a cap on split runs or split shifts for drivers, as well as strong language to prevent job outsourcing and the loss of rights under the Family Medical Leave Act. Clearly, this union battle counts as a victory for drivers seeking a decent living and parity with other public transport drivers across our region. For On the Ground, this is Thomas O'Rourke in Washington.
500 substitute teachers in D.C. public schools are in their 18th week of Monday morning protests for better pay, benefits, and respect. Lydia Curtis was outside DC's Wilson Building to give us an update.
As demonstrations demanding higher pay, sick leave, legal protections, and paid professional development for DCPS substitute teachers.
I am going to unfortunately have to end that there, as we are just about to at the end of the program here out of where we are at here on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. And of course, remember to stream us online at weft.org, where you could also check out a lot of our shows. You know, my show is Where We're At, Radio Theater, which is also coming up at 7 p.m. Right after my show. And just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or the WEFT associates. But I think that's going to essentially wrap it up here. Just remember, the first song I played was Fleetwood Mac, Bleed to Lover. That was, and next I'm going to end with a Patti Smith song, although it's, I believe, a cover of a pretty famous rock and roll song, Gimme Shelter. If I can find, where is I have to put it in first, duh. okay. Yep, it should be in there. And I gotta... gotta queue up the CD, and... Yeah, this is Gimme Shelter by Patti Smith from her album 12. So, thank you so much for listening. Have a good night, and take care.